Okay, so good morning and welcome to what is our first Zoom live link. It's a bit new, a bit different. And welcome also to everybody who's going to be catching up on the podcast. So this week we're just going to take a little bit of time every morning until Friday looking through Romans 5. And then we're going to be back online on Sunday morning, and a few different people will be taking part in that one, and we'll be looking at Romans 6. And I would suggest you take a bit of time every day, read both the chapters through, do it on Saturday as well, and then you'll have read them through 7 times this week, and you'll get to know them very well, and I can pretty much guarantee you that you're not going to get bored in Romans 5 and 6. They're just fantastic chapters. So this morning we're just going to be looking at the first 2 verses of chapter 5, but Gary's going to read for us the first 5 verses. So I'll just unmute him now. Okay, Gary.
Peace and joy. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Gary. If you go back into Romans 4, it talks about Abraham, and it talks about how it was Abraham's not Abraham's actions, it wasn't his religious duties that made him right with God, it was his faith. And in that chapter, in chapter 4, Paul quotes a very important verse from Genesis 15. And it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, or credited to him as righteousness. And then Paul concludes the chapter by saying the words "it was counted to him" were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Christ Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So he's saying that our faith is what leads to righteousness and to justification that comes through Jesus Christ. So justification is the legal pronouncement that we're not guilty. It's saying that we are made just, we're declared innocent. Of course, we were guilty. Our sins, our trespasses, they were taken by Christ. They were nailed to the cross in himself. And then his perfection, his righteous standing before God, was given to us instead. And we take hold of that by faith in Jesus and in the sufficiency of the work that he did at the cross. And that faith is itself, of course, a gift from God. So Paul says that we have been justified by faith. Not we justify ourselves or anything like that. We have been justified by faith. This is not something that we have achieved. It's something that is given to us. It is a gift of God's grace. And then in verses 1 and 2, he thinks a little about the implications of this justification, of being pronounced not guilty. And there's 3 things in verses 1 and 2 that he says. And as we go through, we'll see it covers past, present, and future. So first he says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as long as we have a guilty verdict hanging over us, we can have no peace with God. We can't enjoy a relationship with him because sin cannot come into the presence of the one who is holy. We can strive all we like to earn his favour, to make ourselves better, to pay for our sins so that we're made just. We can strive as much as we like, but there is no peace in striving. and it cannot bring us peace with God. And it's unnecessary, because Jesus has done everything that we need. Our past sin has been dealt with, and we have peace with God. And secondly, Paul says that we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we've dealt with the past, this is dealing with the present. In the righteousness of Christ, we have obtained access. Apparently, a more accurate translation of this would be we've obtained an introduction. So the idea is that we're coming before a king. Now, nobody can just walk into a royal palace. Not today, never mind in those days. You can't just walk into a palace and wander up to the throne room and pop in and say hello. I mean, it's just, you can't do it. And of course, in the case of God, we cannot enter God's presence at all. We can't find acceptance by him. We can't find grace for our lives day by day because we are sinful. So just as you would need someone to take you to royalty, you would need someone to give you an introduction, well, we need an introduction as well. We need someone to go before us to give us an introduction. That's what that obtained access means. We need someone to introduce us to the everlasting King. And of course we have someone. We have Jesus, who has done exactly that. But again, if you extend that illustration of earthly royalty, if you were to be introduced to the Queen, you would expect maybe a passing word. You would be in and out, even if you go and you receive an MBE or something. It's not like you get to stay there. An MBE doesn't give you access to the palace forever. But with God, our introduction is not just passing. It's not a fleeting introduction. We stand in this grace. We have the privilege of being a part of the royal family. So the introduction is actually bringing us into the palace for eternity. The grace of God becomes our daily experience, and nothing can separate us from it. So our past is secured by faith in Christ. We're justified. Our present is secured by faith in Christ. We live, we stand in God's grace. And thirdly, our future is secured by faith in Christ. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So because Jesus died and rose for us, death cannot remove us from the presence, from the grace of God. In fact, death brings us into the full and complete experience of that. And by his grace, we read the promises of God in his word. And like Abraham, we believe God. We have faith in his word and in what he has done. We know that his word is true and that the hope that he gives us is secure. And this is the glory of the cross and the empty grave. This is the glory of what we celebrate at Easter, that by faith in Jesus Christ, the faith that God graciously gives us, our past, our present, and our future are all secure. Not in anything that we do ourselves, but in what Jesus has done for us, enabling us to be justified before God. So let's take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful and glorious truth. We thank you for the work that Christ has done on the cross, that in him we are justified, that in him our sin is forgiven, it is wiped away, it is gone. And instead we are given righteousness so that we can enter, led by Christ, we can enter your throne room, that we can dwell in your presence. And that we can know your grace day by day, your grace that sustains as well as saves, your grace that empowers us to be like Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that as we live in that grace day by day, we live with rejoicing. Because when we look at the cross and the empty grave, we know the future that this has secured for us. We know that we belong to Christ and that we will be with him, with you, for eternity. So, Father, we thank you that past, present and future have all been dealt with in the work that Jesus did at the cross. Help us, Lord, this week, as we take time to reflect, to remember, help us also to rejoice. In his name we pray. Amen.